and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We are presently studying the dispensation of human government. And we've studied so far about how that Noah, when he stepped off the ark, He did a sacrifice, and it was a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. He served God. He was a godly person. But yet, Noah made a mistake. The Bible tells us that he planted a vineyard, and from the juice that he had there that he made out of those grapes, he made wine, and he got drunk. Well, people make mistakes, and we should not turn our backs on the people who make a mistake. And there are several people that possibly you know at this point in your life that has named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not being used of God anymore. And sometimes we just don't take into consideration that we're also sinful. And God uses us because we go to Him and we say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me the sin that's happened, Lord. I want to be used. I want to serve you. Well, we do that not to be saved again, but because we are saved and we want to be used of God, God saves a person for His glory. And we need to help that individual today who has gotten away from the Lord. And we need to encourage them to get back into the battle, to serve God, to do what God wants them to do. You see, we can't do what the next person can do. I can't do what you can do, and you can't do what I can do. But we can work together to get God's work done. And we need to pray for each other that we're held up by God's power, that God would help us to do what is right in His sight. And when we do that, we're going to be right in the sight of man, and we can be used of God. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ that they will become strong in the Lord. Well, Noah made a mistake. He got drunk. In John 8:7, Jesus said, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her, speaking of the woman taken in adultery. Well, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We got saved and we trusted Jesus Christ to take away that sin, and He has. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, that sin is gone, and to be remembered no more, past, present, and future sin. So when we look at Noah, don't cast a stone at Noah. He made a mistake. He was a godly person who had made a mistake. And that person in your life that's made a mistake, you need to pray for them and help restore them to the place they need to be in order to be used of God. Well, notice, I made mention last time of Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And then Proverbs 23:20, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Well, I've said also that this is a clear warning against drinking wine or other intoxicating drinks. It also prohibits gluttony. And when we look at this, let me ask you this. Let's understand something here. Many try to use gluttony as an excuse for drinking alcohol, saying eating to an excess is just as bad as drinking alcohol. Well, let's place gluttony where it belongs. It's sin. Now let's place drinking alcohol where it belongs. That's sin. Well, let me ask this. Have you ever heard of a person pulled over by the police and cited for driving recklessly under the influence of overeating? No, I don't mean eating while driving. Have you ever heard of a person pulled over by the police and cited for driving recklessly under the influence of alcohol? Have you ever heard of families torn apart because mom or dad was a drunkard? Have you ever heard of families torn apart because mom or dad was a glutton? How many beers do you drink? Only one or two? How many beers would you say it takes to make you drunk? If it takes five beers to get you drunk, and you have, say, only one beer, then you are one-fifth drunk. How much wine would it take to get you drunk? Two glasses? If you have one glass, then you are halfway there. I hope you get the picture that drinking is wrong. Drinking alcohol is wrong. And something else. You may say, well, gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins, isn't it? Well, let me ask you, do you know where that saying comes from? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from the Catholic Church. Well, I wonder why the Catholic Church doesn't list drinking wine as a deadly sin. We'll also consider Lot's daughters concerning wine. And you say, well, you're spending a lot of time on this. Well, I'm doing this because God has laid it on my heart. And there are Christians today, people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're guilty of drinking wine or drinking intoxicating liquor. And the Bible is bitterly against that. Well, let's consider Lot's daughters here concerning wine. Ham possibly committed a sinful act with his father, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But also, Lot's daughters got him drunk, and some terrible things happened there. And you read that in Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 through 38. So when we study and we compare Scripture with Scripture, drinking intoxicating liquor is wrong, and we need to stay away from it. And that's not me saying it. That's God's Word. God's Word says, do not even look at it when it moves aright. Well, enough of that for right now. Let's look now at Ham. Ham was possibly, he committed a sinful act with his father, according to what some say and what the Bible intimates here. And some believe whatever happened during Noah's drunkenness, that it was Canaan, Ham's son, who Noah was referring to in Genesis 9:25, because the curse that Noah pronounced was pronounced upon Canaan. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 25 says it's not upon Ham himself. Genesis 9:25, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. So we look at this and we see that, we always say that Ham was the one who uncovered his father's nakedness. In other words, he did something wrong. But it looks like if we compare Scripture with Scripture that it was Canaan that did this. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now, verse 24 says, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Well, he awoke from his wine. He passed out, evidently. He was drunk. Now, the new generation that we read of here after the flood, the new generation settled down in the plains of Shinar and lapsed into idolatry. Genesis 11:2 talks about it, and we're going to read that in just a moment. Instead of scattering and filling the earth as God had commanded these people, they decided on their own to stay in one place. They ignored God's direction. Genesis 11:2 says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now, we're looking at the dispensation of human government, and we need to understand that God established human government during this dispensation. Now, the dispensation ended, but human government has not ended because God sanctioned human government. But we see now we're getting to a point now in this dispensation where it's about ready to end, the dispensation, that is. Nimrod built the idolatrous city of Babel, according to the Bible. He did this after conquering the inhabitants of Shinar. Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10 says, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar." Now, the name Nimrod means "let us rebel." Many believe that Nimrod was not only a hunter of wild animals, he was also a hunter of men, of whom he killed. Now, he's considered by many Bible expositors as being a tyrant. Nimrod was an idolater. He was not a man of God. And as we study this, we see that men, once again, thought they didn't need God, so they chose to make a name for themselves during this time of Nimrod. Man built an idolatrous tower in disobedience to God's command. We read about this in Genesis 11, 1 through 4. Now, God had commanded man to go into all the earth and replenish. In other words, build up the population in the name of the Lord. Genesis 4, 26 says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." People were to go forth not only to replenish the earth with human beings, to fill up the earth with human beings, but also to fill up the earth with the word of God. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4 says this, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.'" Now, I don't know whether or not these people thought they could build something that would reach all the way to heaven. I don't know if that was in their minds. Some people believe that it was a tower for astrology, that they would study the heavens. In other words, like fortune tellers and look at the stars and see what the stars had to say and all of this. Some people believe that's what the tower was. Well, no matter what it was a man-made religion. Man was trying to get to heaven without going God's way. And there are many people today who are doing the same thing, trying to get to heaven without going God's way. Now, the dispensation of human government may have ended, but once again, human government is here today, and so are those individuals who are still trying to get to heaven without going God's way. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death," the Bible says. Man has never been able, and he will never be able, to get to heaven apart from God's plan. And his plan was this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is God's plan for man to get to heaven. Man must realize that he is a sinner, that he cannot save himself. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But that verse goes on to say the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get to heaven without trusting Jesus. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You need to ask him today to save you so you can go to heaven. Not your way, but God's way. Get serious with God, and he will get serious with you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.